Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It is good having you listen in on this sixth Sunday of Easter, as we are most of the way through the Easter season already. A reminder again, our Zoom Bible classes, Sunday at 10 a.m., Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Links are sent to you through Grace Notes, and if we have your email on file. So please check Grace Notes. If you aren't receiving them, please contact us if you would like to. Again, our return to worship plan has been worked on this week, and we've put together some ideas and some procedures. Please see Grace Notes if you are receiving that. We're also sending a physical letter in the mail to every household in the congregation as well, detailing that. Again, May 31, our first Sunday back, all precautions and such will be in place. If you are uncomfortable, or if you're in an age or health bracket that is recommended to remain in isolation and separated, please do so. Comments and ideas are always welcome. Please let us know about that. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the great philosophical questions throughout history is, why am I here? What's my purpose for being alive and taking up space in this world? Your answer, whatever it is, tells you quite a lot about what you think of yourself, the world, and Almighty God. Why did the Father create you? Part of that discussion involves who God is. A parallel to St. Paul's sermon to the people of Athens. Then you have to ask why God created the world. Why did he form Adam of the dust and take Eve from his side? Why did God create them? If you understand why the Father made Adam and Eve, then you can begin to understand why you are here. Ultimately, this leads us to the discussion of the church, what the church is and why you need to be a part of it. Dr. Luther speaks of Adam's being made in the image of God as something more than just physical likeness. Being in the image of God implies an immortal existence, a life in fellowship with the Holy Trinity in eternity. So you don't exist just to eat, drink, and be merry, just to cheer on a sports team or visit exotic places, just to do whatever it is that feels good to you. No. You have been created to be in union with Almighty God and worship him in his majestic glory. This gives meaning to the church and to the words of Christ you heard today. In his epistles, St. Paul urges churches to remain in this relationship with the Holy Trinity. In Colossians 2, St. Paul reminds the church of this relationship. He wanted the hearts of the people to be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. St. Paul discusses the baptismal life as it is lived. To be baptized is to be brought into Christ. As St. Peter says today, in part, baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So much of St. Paul's language is bathed in that kind of baptismal talk. Also from Colossians 2, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This goes hand in hand with Jesus' words to the 12 in St. John's Gospel. The sending of the Holy Spirit after Christ's death and resurrection and ascension is the renewing of God's relationship with man. The Holy Spirit doesn't work apart from or independent of Christ's atonement, but with it. Now, this clarifies a few things. First, when you were baptized, you stopped living for yourself and existing as an independent individual in this world. You were brought into something much bigger than yourself. You received Jesus, and Jesus received you. You became a part of the body of Christ. Your life is now a life of worshiping the Holy Trinity. This is your life now. This is part of the reality of being in the image of God. Reflecting on this reality leads you to realize that you don't often live as though Christ is in you and you are in him. St. Paul said, as you receive Christ, so walk in him. You don't always do this very well. You don't live out your days as if Jesus were the only one who mattered. You don't often live as though your purpose in life is to be in prayer and worship of your Lord. You often find yourselves in subsistence living, just, you know, eating and drinking and drifting on by. It's something that's been magnified over these last several weeks as we've all been physically separated. And that magnification can show you that you're more concerned about the physical aspects and the attributes of this life than the spiritual ones. Because what gets lost in all of this is the worship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you also struggle with what the Holy Spirit teaches through preaching and the Holy Sacrament. Learning and growing is painful, and sometimes you'd rather not go there, precisely because it brings you face to face with your own human frailty and your own sin against God. So when you sincerely look to Almighty God, to his holy teachings and his holy things, you see your weakness and sin in comparison. It is then that you are forced to see that you are not God, that you are not in charge. It is when you see the difference between God and you that you can finally look to him for every help and every blessing in your life. It is the same idea that St. Paul reminds the Colossians of, that the church is knit together in love and understanding. You are knit together in love and in wisdom and in knowledge, St. Paul says, and this is a great mystery. This is the way that Jesus connects the sending of the Holy Spirit to the apostolic office of preaching and administering the sacraments. You also see it in John chapter 20, where Jesus breathes on his disciples after his resurrection. The Spirit of truth is given to the church so that Christ's bride may do what Adam was created to do, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This is the mystery of the church. Somehow, in a mysterious and sacramental way, Christ Jesus takes the Heavenly Father's creation and unites that creation to himself through baptism and preaching and the Eucharist. Things unseen become new realities for you. Jesus takes a fallen and a broken and a virus-riddled creation and he restores it. He unites it to himself. And in so doing, you are cloaked in Jesus. You are cloaked in his righteousness, which is the Holy Spirit given to you. So what you seem to be on the outside is not what you truly are. For Jesus' blood and death removed you from the curse of the law, a curse that you couldn't escape by yourself. And he's planted you securely in Jesus. Still, this is a mystery. It isn't easy to understand. It's what St. Paul speaks of as the heavenly marriage between Christ and his church in Ephesians 5. And it all happens because Jesus shed his blood. Jesus died so that you can worship him forever in spirit and in truth. You live in this reality. And while you do so, Jesus continues to shape his church and to shape you through his coming to you in his gifts, gifts given for you to receive often. The Holy Spirit enlightens and sanctifies and keeps you in Jesus. He leads you to the Father who loves you, you who are united with him in the love of Jesus. And as Jesus has in the past and will again soon, he places his body and his blood into your mouths. And he also places you into his body. And your life is cloaked with his love, with his mercy, and with his salvation. His Spirit dwells with you and in you now and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.